Your congregation belonging to Christ in this now our fifth sermon in our 2021 springtime sermon series. Our theme is God gives the increase. Our main text is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7. There Paul writes to the church in Corinth and for the church of all ages, also here in Calgary FRC, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We will learn further in a moment what Paul was referring to, especially in the context of 1 Corinthians, but let us just observe first, as a matter of fact, in the realm of nature around us, how true it certainly is what Paul writes here. This springtime and summertime of 2021 and of every year of our lives, let us always realize this truth and never forget it, and in fact, repeatedly confess it. It is God who gives the increase. That is, only God is the one who causes those raspberries to grow in your backyard, and those seeds to sprout, and those plants to grow and to bear fruit. While the farmers and the gardeners are working very hard at this time of the year, the spring season, to again plant and to water and to fertilize and to weed, yet all success of their labors are dependent on God. Some years ago, I had a sermon on Psalm 147, verse 8, telling us it's God who makes the grass to grow, even on the mountains. Oh, how easy we can be unmindful of this gracious and glorious truth. Is that not true? Any and every vegetation growth that you and I observe in the nature, in the world around us, is of the Lord. Except the Lord bless and give the increase through his life-giving power and will, and by means also of the sunlight that he gives and the heaven-sent rain that he sends, and with his almighty use of the nutrients of the soil, not a seed or a plant put in the soil would ever grow, but just wither and die. This spring season, will you praise God triune for all the growth of plants and flowers and the growing crops on the fields all around us and in our backyards or front yards? When we are Christians, we acknowledge, don't we, from all the signs of life and flourishing fruits and blossoming harvests, we get to observe it's of the Lord. He gives the increase. Do you and I reflect this in our lives? But the Apostle Paul, in our verse in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7, emphasizing God gives the increase, is not especially or specifically referring so much to nature. Yes, he, by the Holy Spirit, is comparing God's church to a field or to a garden, but his focus is on how in the church of the Lord, with all spiritual life, always and only there too, it is the Lord who gives the increase. The Lord is the Savior God who causes sinners to be born again and saved and to grow up and as fruit-bearing believers, blossoming for God and for good to others. Only God is the one who gives this increase. That is the emphasis of our text. And this too, in regards to the Christian church and her gospel ministry, we always need to remember and never to forget. This relates to the other text we read from the Old Testament, Psalm 127. We sang from it as well. Remember what we read and sang? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This is saying we are dependent on the Lord alone for ultimate blessing and fruit on his gospel word in and from the church of the Lord. Well, here, before digging into more the text in 1 Corinthians 3, I can't but help give also two other related Old Testament texts from the book of Isaiah. These texts, like Paul does in 1 Corinthians 3, show the parallel of God's ways in nature to God's ways in his church and kingdom. So in Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11, we read, Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Similarly, in Isaiah 61, verse 11, the same prophet, Isaiah 61, 11, declares in God's name, "For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Do you hear with me how these verses so stress? Yes, it is God who gives the increase in all the realm of nature and also in all matters of spiritual life in us individually and in all his church across the world. God gives the increase. Do you hear this? And do you believe this too? With all your mind and heart, each one. Going on to probe this more and to glory in this more and to realize this more, that it is God alone who gives the increase, let's look closer at the text in 1 Corinthians 3. You know how the Corinthian church was struggling with time and again looking to the wisdom of the world and the talents and gifts of people. That church loved showmanship and performance-type services where people would show their stuff. But in this way, most foolishly, the congregation was too often not focused on Christ as the crucified and risen Savior of sinners and as the one and only source and resource of all true blessings in all of life. Instead of glorying in God and his word and spirit and his gospel, they tended to boast in their church leaders and their programs and in their various gifts. And the sad result was that, among other things, they were in this way actually creating division and strife and having different parties in the church. If you go to 1 Corinthians 1, the first chapter of the letter, verses 11 to 12, we learn there, Paul says that there were contentions, frictions within the congregation, with one saying, "I'm with Paul as my minister," and another, "I'm with Apollos, the best preacher for sure," and still another, "I'm with Cephas, you know, that fiery Peter, he's my man." And some really spiritual ones, they each said, "I'm of Christ." Do you hear? Instead of being together, glorying in God in Christ for all his salvation, mercies, and blessings, the church became divided, with one favoring this man and the other someone else. Paul rebukes the congregation for their immaturity and being carnal, fleshly, and worldly-minded here in their thinking and conduct. And so in verses 5 to 9, using the imagery of God's church being like the Lord's field, his garden, elsewhere in Scripture, his vineyard, as both Old and New Testament speak of the church, in that context, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul, he then emphasizes how all spiritual increase and growth from start to finish in the church of the Lord is always from the Lord alone. All the Lord's servants in his church, his true servants, they are equally just servants. And the word in the original is table watchers. Just table watchers. Table waiters. Servants like that the Lord is pleased to use for the work in his church. But in themselves, those servants are nothing. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul calls them earthen vessels, empty earthen vessels. That's God's servants of themselves. God's servants plant and sow and irrigate and fertilize and maybe pull weeds and cultivate between the rows with the word, but still always all spiritual growth, all increase is not from the workers, but from God alone. Yes, there are differences of gifts and placements and roles and efforts for all who are in God's church, also among his servants, different gifts, different talents, surely. But never, congregation, should we boast in any person. But let our boast be only always in God alone, God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When the text says in verse 9, of all God's servants in his church, speaking primarily of church leaders, but it also can refer to all God's people in their different ways serving in God's church. When Paul describes them as God's fellow workers, it doesn't mean God's fellow workers in producing increase, but rather it refers to all true Christians who are co-laborers with one another as those who belong to God, whom all together the Lord is pleased to use as he sees fit to do. The point is, you see, time and again in the verses 5 to 9, it is God who gives the increase. So then, as declared in verse 7, neither is he that plants anything, nor he that waters, but God who gives the increase. Well, now, it could be you might be saying, okay, Pastor, you made your point, stressing and repeating the theme over and over that God gives the increase. Can we please move on from here? I hear you in this, beloved, but can I share that I'm not sure I have learned this enough or heard it sufficiently yet for myself that it is God alone who gives the increase. As your first minister here, getting on close to 12 years now, have I had this as my motto and principal conviction in all the years of service to date? Perhaps not always, and certainly not enough. We will come back to this when we make applications on our text and its theme in a moment. But let me first tell you something that I learned in studying for this sermon that really moved me and melted me in my sermon preparation. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago that I had to give a closing meditation at a minister's conference in Ontario with FRC and HRC ministers. And I chose to do it speaking on the so-called imperfect verb tense in the New Testament. Not that I'm such an authority on that, but I've always been so impressed and blessed by the imperfect tense as found in the New Testament Greek. And in preparing this sermon, I discovered it again. What do I mean? What is the imperfect tense? The imperfect tense doesn't mean it's not a perfect tense, but the imperfect tense in the Greek refers to verb action, not in the present only, or not just from the past. No, but it refers to an action of the verb that has begun and that continues still. It's a verb tense used to tell of action started and that is ongoing still in the present. Well, now in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, we have another imperfect tense where we read, God gave the increase. The verbs earlier in the verse about Paul planted and Apollos watered is in the past tense as something they once did for a season. But in and with it all, it was and continues to be God who gives the increase. This last verb is in the imperfect tense, not the past tense. If it was in the past tense, how could we know he will give increase today? If it was in the future tense, how could we know it would be for now and not for time far beyond? But it's in the imperfect tense. This is a matter of fact of God's sovereign grace and mercy in all generations where His word is brought, in whatever stage of ministry, in and from the church. God is the one who in and through it all is bringing the increase. Time and again, He accomplishes the increase through the ministry of the word. Honestly, dear congregation, I worship the Lord in my study before this imperfect verb tense, so perfectly given here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But now then, having given you some explanation on our text and its theme, that God alone gives the increase, not just in nature, but also in all spiritual matters, let's consider next some of the implications of this truth. Let's think about what we should not conclude from it, a couple things. And then let's think about what we should conclude from it, about 4 points there. Let's consider first what we should not conclude from this, that God gives the increase. We shouldn't conclude from this, congregation, that we don't need to do our part in sowing and planting and nurturing the gospel seed. What would you think of a farmer who, because God alone gives the increase, just sat in his house and put his legs up and did nothing in springtime? He didn't bother to plow the field and to sow his crops or to sow the seed for his crops. We would call him an irresponsible farmer, a dumb farmer, not worthy to be a farmer. No, congregation, we are called, are we not, to be very diligent and faithful and careful and urgent in planting and watering the Christian gospel seed and living as faithful stewards in our different roles and offices and responsibilities in life. Also in home life, as parents with our children. The second half of 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul changes the picture from the metaphor from the church being God's field to God's building, the apostle then also very much stresses, as we read, the responsibility we each have to build carefully on the one and only foundation of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And Paul makes clear, God will hold each one of us accountable as to how we build. So my point here is, don't let the truth that God alone gives the increase, discourage you or dissuade you or me in being a gospel light and a witness and a sower of the gospel seed. Our text teaches, in fact, the Lord is pleased to use the weakest means of His people, faithfully serving Him as gifted and supplied by Him in His service. The fact that God alone gives the increase should actually encourage and motivate us all the more to give ourselves wholly to the work placed before us and the gospel opportunities yet given to us. What makes us successful, congregation, and God-honoring servants in any generation and in any faithful church and its faithful church ministry is not the fruits of our ministry as such, but whether we are faithful and diligent, obedient in the tasks and opportunities and callings the Lord places upon us or sets before us. God doesn't look at the number of people saved by our ministry to say one day in His undeserved grace and love, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But He looks rather on whether we have been true to Him and His gospel word and His gospel service. So from our text teaching that God alone gives the increase always, don't let it have the result of you being lazy or sloppy in seeking and serving the Lord. But in fact, let it stir you and me up all the more in seeking and serving the Lord for ourselves and then in serving others in the gospel way in Jesus' name. You know how Paul and Apollos and Peter, when you read about them, they spent themselves in gospel labors while knowing God alone gives the increase. They gave themselves in gospel ministry, always depending on the Lord to bless their labors. Is that you and me too in our lives? Yours and mine, at home, in church, and in society, and in this whole fallen, sinful world altogether. Are you and I, by God's grace and Spirit, enthusiastic in living for God and His church and kingdom, knowing you can leave all the results to God? Then the second way we must not respond with God alone giving the increase is, as Paul would so make clear to the congregation at Corinth, stop glorying in people. Stop glorying in people. Sure, you can have a favorite minister, maybe, but don't be magnifying certain ministers of the word over and above others, faithful ministers. Value them all. Thank God for them all. And don't put one over against another. Isn't this a good caution? A caution good for us to be reminded of as well. We live in a celebrity culture, just like in Corinth. And it's affected and infected the churches in our day as well. How right in this regard what one study Bible noted on our text passage, quote, God's work involves many different individuals with a variety of gifts and abilities. There are no superstars in this task, only team members performing their own special roles. We become useful members of God's team by setting aside our desires to receive glory for what we do. Don't seek the praise of people because it's comparatively worthless. Instead, seek the approval that comes from God. End of quote. Well, congregation, isn't that a healthy Christian perspective on church leaders and all church ministry and home ministry and every faithful ministry in our day? Paul writes in verse 21, let no one boast in man. For to glory in men or the gifts of others, it's both foolish and it's wrong. It's failing to see that whatever gifts a person also has was given by God in the first place. Well, I know I need this caution as your minister here. That of glorying in gifts. What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about my own gifts. I can very often come to the thinking, who am I? And are there not other men so much more gifted, learned, and able, and zealous maybe too, who could and would better serve here than myself? You can know as your minister, I can fall into those times thinking, if I could only preach so much better, like so-and-so, and if my sermons would only come together much more and more clearly, and if my sermons would be more quickly put together, and if I just had more the gift of memory and of oratory and many more vivid illustrations and. But dear congregation, and dear Pastor Overdoon, doesn't our text now stop such thinking and negativity on our part? Can't even such kind of thinking and talking be actually sin before God and one another? Why, we believe, don't we? I believe. Even if the Apostle Paul, or Apollos, or maybe Peter, or what about R.C. Sproul, the late R.C. Sproul, or what about Dr. Beakey? Yes, if he could be on our pulpit here and pastor Calgary FRC for 3 or 4 years, that wouldn't by itself mean any more visible fruit. No, for the increase is of God and not of men. It's really important to get this. And if this sermon is only for me in this regard, dear congregation, please forgive me if that's the case. And let's always remember to be so blessed when, even if we get nothing out of the sermon, but we know someone has. And in this case, it may be just me. Let's ask for the future too, beloved. And whoever ministers in this church and serves as your pastor and preacher, not first of all, can the man make our church grow, but rather, will the man be faithful and diligent, all out in being God's humble servant, ever holding high the one and only gospel word for sinful and perishing mankind, and seeking the Lord's blessing on all his labors? Ask for faithful ministers as servants of Jesus Christ in his church, and let God take care of the increase. Well, still considering here further this whole matter of how we should conclude, how we should respond to our text, we thought about what we should not conclude. Now let's consider how we should positively respond to our text. Some positive implications, and I want to give four. For that I also need so to take to heart, but so does everyone in the congregation. The first is, congregation, if it's only always God who gives the increase, how that should spur us on in prayer to God, should it not? How much do you and I pray for God to bless just the reading of Scripture in the home and in family worship or in private devotions? And how much do we pray for God to bless the ministry of the Word to the congregations each Lord's Day and from the churches to the world around us? Did you pray last night in view of Sunday? Oh Lord, please prosper your Word tomorrow in our church and in every faithful church. Please strengthen and equip your pastors to proclaim your Word with boldness and confidence, and let it not return to you void. Please, Lord, bless by your Holy Spirit, poured out since Pentecost, to accompany the gospel word, making it effectual and living a living word that penetrates mind and heart with life-giving and quickening, converting, equipping, comforting, God-honoring fruit. Did you pray this morning for God's blessing on the worship services, even in our extra challenging circumstances at this time, especially with online services, which is not easy from home? And during and after the services, do we pray? Do I pray at home? Lord, please bless the gospel word just preached and that we just heard, and let it not go in one ear and out the other for anyone, but make it to be the seed of regeneration for those still unsaved, and let it be food for the soul, good and nourishing food, convicting and converting food for your people, sanctifying and building them up and equipping them with your gospel truth. Are we prayers to God for his blessing on his word, truly and repeatedly and diligently and humbly and passionately so? You know, when you read through the book of Acts and then the New Testament epistles, how often the early church could be characterized as most prayerfully ministering the gospel. Repeatedly, they were laboring in God's church and kingdom as humble, hearty servants of Christ, being diligent in prayer to God to bless the gospel wherever it was brought in word and deed. Well, let's be like that, dear congregation. Let's be like that. Don't we all have to grow in this area? And inasmuch as we have been like this, prayerful, let's not slacken in prayer. No, but pray without ceasing, says Paul. Yes, also for gospel missionaries and ministers and elders and deacons in Christ's church, that God especially would help and prosper them in all their labors in Jesus' name. And let's pray for more laborers, as the Lord Jesus calls us to do. Well, you know, I was thinking here, with belonging to a Reformed church as we do, based wholly on the teaching of God's word, we should well understand, should we not, who can raise the need of prayer? For who can raise a spiritually dead sinner and make such alive to God and good? Only God can do that. Who can bring truly clean out of the unclean? Only God can do that. Who can cause the spiritually blind to see, and the spiritually deaf to hear, and the spiritually lame to walk? Only God can do that. Who can bring back the wayward and the rebellious, the stubbornly resistant to the Lord? Only God can do that. Who can revive the church and cause the gospel word to burn in our hearts with joy and zeal to God's praise and for our neighbor's good? Only God can do that. On all gospel ministry congregation, it is God alone who gives the increase. So let's intercede and pray for him daily and steadfastly for his blessing on all faithful gospel ministry while it's yet the day of grace. Not only pray, however, but secondly, work. Pray and work. Yes, each one of us, how can we, you and I, whatever our place in the church and in the home, how can we help in sowing the gospel seed? How can we help encourage those with special calling to sow the seed? And how can we, each in our own lives as confessing believers, help spread the gospel light? Are there not very many ways where, either directly or indirectly, secretly or more openly, we can be involved in the spreading of the gospel word of the Lord? What about in the home as parents with our children? And as siblings between one another? What about as church family in the messages we send to each other and the conversations we have with one another? What about on social media, as much as you may use it? Do you have God's word on there and hold that high? What about distributing tracts and giving a word in season as God gives us opportunity still? What about volunteering in Christian ministries in word or deed? What about supporting financially the different faithful organizations and ministries proclaiming and promoting God's word in our generation and world today? Since God gives the increase, if we believe that truly, won't you and I pray and work while we yet can, spreading that word in God's church and kingdom as God allows and grants us to do? Now, I know this happens already among us, and we praise God for that, but let's keep our hand to the plow and not slacken also in the times in which we live today. Thirdly, let us also hope in God. Let us hope in God. Pray, work, and hope in God, and live in joyful anticipation and expectation even of how the Lord might use the sowing of the seed as we seek to do that faithfully to His praise. His promises, and always and again, His word will not return to Him void. He will cause that it increase. The early church also in Corinth was a church blessed with true Christians in a very pagan and wicked, adulterous culture. Who knows how God blesses His word? I read this week again about the Welsh missionary Robert Germain Thomas, who had a passion to bring the gospel to Korea when Korea was one country still way back in the 1800s. And in the process, he was killed, only 26 years of age. He was on a boat, and he had packages of Bibles he was throwing on the riverbank, and the soldiers were on the riverbank threatening to kill him. And indeed, a soldier clubbed him to death, even as he threw out packages of the word. And it seemed like when he was killed at 26, what a waste. That amounted to nothing. But you know, people took those words. The Korean people, soldiers tried to gather it all and burn it, but there was enough that people did get. And 20 years later, when that country opened up, this is history, this is a true story, then you know what? Christian missionaries who came there along the same riverbank area, they found little churches. One church even was a church where a soldier had taken the Bible that was given and he had ripped out the pages and actually just used it as wallpaper on the wall. And now, 20 years later, there was a little Christian congregation in that very household. It's amazing. There's lots of stories like that. In fact, there are millions and billions of stories like that that could be told about how God gives the increase in the spreading of His word. I can tell stories too, even from the short time I've been here in Calgary, where amazingly, in spite of timidity on my part, God blessed the word to His praise. Let's be most hopeful then, congregation, in sowing the seed. For God is all-powerful and most compassionate towards sinners, and He will bless His word, always bringing all whom He has ordained to eternal life to be saved through the ministry of the word. Truly, congregation, there's no more guaranteed success story than on the sowing of God's gospel word. The returns on gospel ministry are most certain in God's hands, and never do we have to doubt or dispute this fact. We can pray and work in the gospel ministry with great optimism and humble confidence, for nothing is more hopeful than the fact of God's sure blessing on His word in even what may seem to us the most hopeless case situations and scenarios. So let's keep true and busy in gospel service and fervent in prayer and expectation. For the fact that God gives the increase truly gives us so much reason to do so. also in our 21st century world today. So not only to pray and work and be hopeful, but lastly, let's genuinely praise the Lord. Praise Him, yes, for the way of salvation, all of grace, and a gospel ministry He has ordained that includes us and involves us, even diligently so, but that yet is all dependent only always on God alone. The weakest means He can use to fulfill His will and be used by Him still. Really, the way God designed the congregation, everything is so gracious, so wise, so good, so fulfilling, and so God-honoring that to Him belongs all the glory whenever anyone is saved and however the church grows and expands or not. We can entrust everything as far as the fruits to the Lord. And in the last day, we will not be disappointed. Part of the glory and joy of life eternal for the innumerable redeemed people from every tribe and tongue and nation in that day will be hearing how God saved people through the ministry of the word from this one and that one, most often without us even realizing it. Even so then, let's not be a worldly church and fleshly minded and depending on humans. No, but on God triune, the God of our salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who by the word saves sinners till the last day. And gives His blessing on all gospel ministry till He comes again. It is God and God alone that gives the increase. And eternity won't be long enough, beloved, to thank the Lord and to praise His name with all the redeemed from all over the world, saved by grace through Jesus Christ. Let's be glorying in Christ, as Paul ends also the 1 Corinthians 3 chapter. While all the wicked and unbelieving in hell will one day confess all there, we are here because we have despised and rejected God's gospel word and call. At the same time, all the redeemed in glory will forever confess. We are here because God blessed His word to us and gave the increase in spite of ourselves. And to Him be all the praise and the glory forever and ever. Well, will you never forget then this fifth springtime sermon based on 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. As you see the farmers sowing and planting, please be reminded, not just in nature, but in God's church and kingdom too, that the Lord alone gives the increase, as Paul taught by the Holy Spirit. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, so that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, the sermon was for the preacher, but may it be also for the whole congregation. Help us not to forget what was repeated over and over in the sermon, that you give the increase. And when we see it in nature, even with our spouse or with our children or with others, help us to glorify your name. For who can make a flower to grow? Who can make a raspberry to form? Who can make the grass become green? It's not the fertilizer that does it. It's not the things we do, though you use that. But it's you, Lord, who causes it and brings it about. And who can save sinners? You, Lord, you alone. And so we bring also those who presently are so resistant. And we think of the one also in our church who confessed you but then turned away from you. Oh, that you will yet bring him back, Lord. You give the increase. So we plead for your mighty working also in his life and in all our lives. And in the lives of loved ones who are so stubbornly resistant to you. Lord, work in their hearts, even as you worked in our hearts. And to you be all the glory for anyone and everyone who seeks and serves you in spirit and truth. Lord, bless us as a congregation. Please, we pray, give us increase also in number in the years ahead. May this church expand by your grace and glory through faithful elders and deacons and ministers who serve in this place. Lord, may it be that in time to come, this church is full and not big enough. for the ministry of the word from this pulpit. Lord, you can do it. You give the increase till the last day. And we pray for it. Teach us to pray in hope and expectation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.